Happy Mother's Day. There was a Mother's Day card. In the front of it said, that's okay, don't worry about that. It ain't bothering me.
I can't see.
You can't see? Well, I'm not going to stand up. The outside of the Mother's Day card read this, Mom, I remember that little prayer that you used to say to me every day. And then when you open the inside of the card, it says, God help you if you ever do that again. Mothers, wow. You are special beyond measure. And don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. I know in here, we have all kind of backgrounds. Some of you had bad mothers. Some of you really had no mother that helped you, I mean. Some of you had great mothers, so I understand that. It's all across the board. But you just gotta remember they're still your mom. And God's grace can help you. And mothers, on this side of it, if you're the ones that this convicts the most, then you might need to go to even your grown children and say, ooh, boy, I messed that up. I'm sorry. And that's the way it goes. It's tough. Ooh, that's a job. I wouldn't have it. Thank the Lord I don't have it, eh? Being a mother, I mean. I had a good mom. And the main question is, looking at today quickly, is you got to have something as a mother to form as a plan for you to live out your motherhood. Where are you getting it from? That's the question. Or if you had a good mother, you might can get it from them. If you didn't, where are you going to get it from? You need it. You need a guide. And we won't get that far because we know now from the first service that we won't get that far in our notes and things. But Danny will put them up there. But you'll see the last part of the situation. In 1 Kings was the lady needed some help. And I'm just going to tell you, moms, especially young moms, there's going to be some time when you need somebody. And it might not always be just a physical person. In this particular case, they went to the king. They said, we're by ourselves. We need some help. Don't ever be afraid to ask some older, godly mother their opinion. Because you're going to need it sometime. You don't have to figure all this out by yourself. It's better to go to somebody who's been there and learn a lot by experience. Experience is a whole lot better than just book. You know that, right? Sometimes book learning is okay and helps you balance out the experience. But that experience, ooh-wee, that is a teacher. So keep that in mind. Some kids were asked, what was your mom like? You know, what kind of little girl was your mom? That was the question. My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. That was her answer. Well, I don't know because I wasn't there, but I would say she's pretty bossy. Are they pretty bossy? They need to be. A lot of times they need to be bossy. They say she used to be nice. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? Because we're related. Kids now, we're asking kids. God knew she likes me more than other people's moms like me. What would it take to make your mother perfect? These are kids now. On the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. You do know kids will tell you the truth, right? You ought to be grateful Debbie and Meredith are confidential. Do y'all know what I mean by that? They say everything back there in that room, that's the truth. And some of it you probably wouldn't like if you knew it. Some of you mamas. But that's okay. We know that. They don't hide it. They'll just say, whatever it is, the reality. Eh? So that's what you need to do. If you're ever worried about that, you need to live the right reality. Right? That's just the way it is. I think I'd put her on a diet. On a diet, yeah, you know, her hair, I'd dye it another color, maybe blue. I'm sorry. I don't get that. I don't get that. Whatever your age is, I don't get dyeing your hair blue. I just don't understand that. That's kind of alien looking or something, you know? You think that comes out in the movies or, you know, I don't understand that. I don't have to understand that, all right? Aren't you glad? But sometimes I just want to know, what are you thinking? What's going on in your mind to do that kind of stuff? Yeah, that's right. That's what Daddy used to say. So, boy, what were you thinking when you did that? Where's your mind? I asked a lady that one time in a nice way. I said, what possessed you? And it wasn't her hairdo. It was something else that they had done that was physical that anybody could see. And I said, what possessed you to do that? I'm being honest. I want to know. You know, like a guy one time, I told you this, I asked him. He stepped there, and he didn't even go to church with us at that point in time, but he was a local guy, and I knew him, and he stopped at my house, and we were just out there talking. And I noticed whenever he was talking, something was going on in his mouth. I said, and finally I saw he had one of them big old silver things on his tongue that he had pierced his tongue, and what you call them big old blobs? Whatever. It's big. I said, what's going on in your mouth there, buddy? He said, I got me a tongue, whatever you call it. I said, what is that about? He said, well, you know, I had all these piercings up here in my eyebrows, and everybody looked at me so crazy, I had to take them out. So I had to have something. I said, why? Why you got to have something? I don't understand that. And he couldn't explain that. Anyway, this lady said, well, it's my freedom of expression. I said, okay. I guess that's okay, whatever that means. Anyway, hair dyed blue. There ain't nobody in here with it, is there?
That would be 5 years ago.
And now I can understand it in some ladies that haven't matured enough yet. But when I see it in 80-year-old ladies, I'm wondering what in the world is going on there, all right? All right? I'm fitting to get in trouble, I see that. That's not what we're talking about. I don't care what you do with your hair as long as you don't tell me I have to do mine that way. All right? That's like a lot of stuff. There's some stuff I don't care if you do it, but don't try to mandate me to do it. And if I stay away from you, if you're doing it, don't get mad at me, because I might not want to be around it. Anyway, let's look quickly. We're not going to get done, but we're going to look a few minutes. It says in Isaiah, as a mother comforts her son, this is God speaking to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. As a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Wow. God uses a metaphor of a mother to show what kind of compassion and love he has for his nation. Can't get any better than that. Moms, you have a unique, special role in our lives. And sometimes it is not easy, and it's not good. And mothers-in-law, can I speak there a minute? I don't understand it. Because I understand a couple of things. By and large, mothers usually never think whoever their children marry is good enough for them, right? And it basically, well, that's one thing that we're just kind of, not always, but 95% of the time, right? And so mother-in-laws, they catch it, whether it's true or not, you know? That's just the way it goes, and it's you catch a lot of slack from that. I remember back in the days of mules and horses, and a new couple got married, and the mom, it was her daughter that married the farmer, and her concept was he wasn't really good enough. She sure didn't need to marry some dirt sucking peasant. And that's what she did. And so she went over there right away to check out the layout. You know, how is he going to be good enough for her? Let me go see what he's got. So they're going through, and she wants to see everything. So they're taking her through the barn and everything. And lo and behold, when the mother-in-law gets back there, one of his mules reared up and got kind of crazy and kicked the mother-in-law in the head and killed her instantly. Boom. So they had a funeral, and, you know, people are visiting and paying their respects. You know, funerals are not the same way that I grew up with. Funerals are a totally different way than basically funerals happen today. And that's the way they were then. Everybody went and visited and paid respect, and they were there. And the preacher happened to notice, he was a way off, but he noticed that every time one of the people, one of the ladies came up to the man and started talking to him, he would just shake his head like this and then mumble something, and they would go on. And when the men would come, he would shake his head no and mumble something, and then they would go on. So he asked him after, he said, "Hey, what's going on? I just happened to notice every time one of the ladies came up and said something, you shook your head yes and just mumbled something. But when the men came up, you shook your head no and mumbled something. What was going on?" He said, "Well, here's what it was. Whenever the ladies come up, they just said, 'Man, we're so sorry this happened.'" And he said, "Yeah, it's horrible, you know," and then they would go on. He said, "But when the men come, they'd say, 'I want to buy that mule.'" He said, "No, no, he's rented out every weekend for the next year." That's not fair. That's not fair, is it? Thank the Lord, good or bad, we've never lived near our mothers-in-laws. You know, mine, well, not mine, Debbie's, my mom, this is Debbie's mother-in-law, or her mother or stepmother. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you, that's a task now, is it? The best on both sides, that's a task. My grandmother lived with me because my grandfather died before I was born. So she lived with us till I was 14. I know how tough that is. And she was a quiet, just a serving little lady, helped take care of us, and, you know, didn't have a hostile spirit of any means. But let me tell you, that is tough, all right? You don't have to explain that to me. I observed enough in all of that. It's tough. Now, basically where this story actually goes in our study is that's what happens. In 1 Kings chapter 3, what you have is two prostitutes who are living in the same house and that are pregnant. There's nobody else in the family mentioned, doesn't mention anybody helping them. They're probably living together because of financial burden, as they can't do it by themselves. And kind of that's what you have. You have a mess. You know, what would it be like having, in the best situation, two pregnant mothers in the same house? Any of y'all ever had to go through that? Can you imagine what that would be like? How about two pregnant mothers who nobody else in the family is helping them and they're on their own? So anytime a mother says, "Well, you just don't know my circumstances," those were the worst that could possibly ever happen in anybody's life. And a lot of times we say, "Well, you know, God understands because, you know, I can be irresponsible because my situation's bad." It ain't that bad. And both of their irresponsibilities caused more problems. Finally, one of them went to the king and said, "Hey, we need some help." You will always need some help, young ladies. Don't be afraid to ask them. Number one, just because you have a child doesn't mean you know everything. Hello? How about it? You need somebody who's been there by experience that can help you. That's one thing you need with godly mothers and that are not even kin to you, or grandmothers that come along and help you if you don't have a mother still alive. They can come along and help you because you have to have a good pattern if you're going to do what we're about to read in Proverbs chapter 22. I mean, you got to have it. You're going to get one somewhere. Where are you getting yours from? It's undoubtedly the greatest compliment to mothers that could be said. God said, "Like a mother, I am to you." Wow, mothers, you're special. I mean, God created you. Nobody else can take that place. I don't care if it's a man who says they're a woman now. They can't do it, all right? I don't know where you are on that, but that's absurd, by the way. When God wanted to use a metaphor to explain the comparison he has for people, he used mother. Can you get any higher than that? No. No, absolutely not. G.K. Chesterton said over 100 years ago, "Can anyone tell me two things more vital to the human race than these? Number one, what man will marry what woman?" You need to be careful who you marry. Some people don't learn that very quick, you know. Number one, he says that. And number two is, what are the things they will teach their child? That's the important stuff. Absolutely. And he goes on. He says the daily operations, taking care of children. Remember now, when he's writing this, most moms were home, okay? They were not in the workforce, and you know, keep it in context. That's what he's saying. surrounded with their very young children who needed to be taught so much, not so much anything, but everything. They don't have a cell phone to look at. They don't have anything. They don't have cartoons to look at. You know, you got to teach them every little thing that's going on. The daily operations. Babies need not to be taught a trade, but to be introduced to the world. To put the matter shortly, a woman is generally shut up in a house with a human being. Remember? She's there. She's taking care of it. She's not leaving the house. She's there all the time. At the time when he asks all the questions there are and then some that are not. Any of y'all ever have that habit? Why? Did any of your kids ever have it? Why? Why? Listen, at 3 years old, you usually can't explain that. You just have in a loving way say, you're going to have to do what I'm telling you or I'm going to beat you. No, I'm not saying that way. But that's sometimes what you have to do. We're just going to have to do it this way. I'll try to explain it to you a little bit as you get older, but right now you just need to do it because that's what you need to do. All right? That's all they can grab. Our race has thought it worthwhile to cast this burden on women. God did. He's the one. We didn't do it. In order to keep, look at this word, common sense. That's a new concept. That's a novice idea, isn't it? Common sense. You know, it used to be, in my day and time, when everybody had a little dab. Not anymore. They don't. If you see things that are going on right now in our government, and you think, that makes no sense whatsoever, that's what we call common sense. And it's not there anymore. Nobody's thinking. But when people begin to talk about it, domestic duty is not merely difficult, but trivial. Oh, this is ridiculous. Why should I even be doing this? And dreary. I dread it. I simply give up the question, for I cannot with the utmost energy of my imagination conceive, what are you talking about? You think this is not important? Remember, his main thing was what? Who marries who and then what they teach their children as the most important things in the world. If drudgery only means dreadfully hard work, well, my goodness, it's just like a man if he's going out there digging ditches all day. It is. It's a hard job, absolutely. But if it means that the hard work is more heavy because it's trifling, it's really not important, it's colorless, and of no importance whatsoever, then just forget it. Give up. Go do something else. And basically, that's what we've done in the last 40 years in America. I mean, that's basically what's happened. And that's what he said, and he's writing this over 100 years ago. In Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, remember, they've come out of Egypt now, and he's having to teach them because being over 400 years in Egypt, there is no teaching. All they know is Egyptian lifestyle. So God's got to teach them what he wants them to know and how to live their lives. Okay, that's why you have the Ten Commandments. That's why you have all the ceremonial laws, all the rituals that go with worship. They didn't know it. So Deuteronomy is actually called the second giving of the law, reminding them because they're about to go into the promised land and they need to know these things. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinance which Jehovah your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land where you're going. They're going into a new place, starting a new chapter. That you might fear Jehovah thy God and to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons. Because what you teach your children should be taught by them to their children, which are your grandchildren. You're passing it on. That's what he means. All the days of life, and the days may be prolonged. Hear, Israel, therefore, observe to do it, that it may be well with you. It'll help you. Did you know that? You know, if you followed, I remember this guy in North Carolina, he was not a believer. He started coming to church with us. He hadn't been in church in 30 years. And was not a believer, but he started coming, had some little kids, and he started coming to one of our small group classes, and we started talking about these things, and he asked questions, a good guy, and one of the things we were talking about was just the commandments, just how if you obeyed the Ten Commandments, automatically, whether you believed in Jesus or not, God was just going to bless your life. That's what he said. He says, if you dig, he says, honor your father and mother, and your days will what? Be longer. Yeah, be blessed. And on that one of those particular days, we were talking about Sunday. How it was a different day, and this was a reason why. And from that day on, he stopped working on Sunday. And months later, he came back and said, you wouldn't believe the difference it made in my family's life. He didn't have to work on Sunday. He had a choice. Some people don't have a choice now. But hey, I'm not condemning anybody. You know, I work on Sunday, right? And he said, you were right. What a difference that day made. God is, and he was still not a believer. He wasn't committed to Jesus, but he saw the difference that was making in his family's life. He said, you know, that's exactly what God said, didn't it? I said, that's what he said. That's what this means. That your days will be prolonged. God orchestrated where you can be blessed because he has the best thing in mind when he says, do it this way. Right? Therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you. He said, I want it the best for you, and that you may increase mightily, as Jehovah the God your fathers have promised you, that in a land flowing with milk and honey, when you go over there, if you'll do this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your might. You know, they say this over and over and over and over again. Doesn't really mean something sometimes. You know, Will Rogers said, a man told him one time, he said, you know what I want to do? I want to go over to the Israel, and I want to go up on top of Mount Sinai, and I want to read the Ten Commandments out loud. He said, that's what I want to do. Well, Rogers said, I got a better idea. Why don't you stay over here in Chicago and live them? Yeah? That's what he's talking about. I don't want you just to memorize it. I want you to implement it in your life where it comes out in your life and in your children's life. That's what he's talking about. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and they shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Everywhere you go, everything that's going on in your children's life, that's what you talk about. You don't talk about what's on Facebook. You don't talk about what's on Google. That doesn't consume your life. You talk about what God wants to do and what his plans is and what we should be doing as a family. That's what he says. Where did my thing go? Somewhere down here. I got it. I need to glue it to my hand, I reckon, eh? What does that mean? Everywhere. Wherever you are. What's going on? You shall bind them as a sign. a lot of devout Jews, that's what they do. You know, they wear them in certain places in that little box. But the main thing is, okay, are you doing what it said or are you just wearing it? You say you committed to Jesus. Is it affecting your life or is it just something you talk about? But that's the issue. That's what he's talking about here. You need to commit these things because whenever you go over there, because you're going into a pagan land, and I don't want you to be just like them. What did they turn out being like? Just like them. And what did God do? He sent them into captivity again. Why? Because they acclimated. They became just like the pagans that were around them. That's the harsh reality why they call us hypocrites as Christians. Because we live like the rest of the world. Can't really tell us different than anybody else. That's what the complaint is. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the front of your. You shall write them on the doorposts. Everywhere there's anything going on, whatever's important to you, whatever you see every day, you go to the refrigerator every day, you go to your phone every day. Lord, you go to your phone too much. I still despise when we go somewhere at a restaurant, and everybody at the table is on their phone, and no one's talking. And I'm talking about a mom and a dad and kids that are under 10. Oh, just forget it if they're teenagers. Absolutely. They can't breathe without that phone. So he's saying whatever's important, wherever the things that are happening in your life, that's what you do. That's where you have to do it. Where's your plan? You say, I'm going to get the guys on Father's Day, all right? So I ain't even going to mention them. Mothers, if you go back in time, they were with those children around the clock. Around the clock. They were the most influential people in those children's lives. Who would have the most influence on the kids then? The mom would. I mean, that was what it was. That's what it was. That's why it was important. That's exactly what he pulls out and says, you need to do this. This is the purpose of life, and there can be no greater. Everything centers on that. What are you going to teach your kids? How to live. What are you teaching your kids? You're saying one thing and you're totally living something different. Where are they going to pick up on what they see you doing? We know that old phrase, right? Monkey what? Oh, yeah. I don't care how much you talk about it. You know, you look at people in your life. Someone says, well, I wonder what happened. I said, I ain't telling you exactly what happened. Look how they saw their mother live and their father live for the last 30 years. What do you expect? Only by God's grace did they come out of that stuff. You know, that's exactly what happens. It's the one great lesson which ought to be learned in every home, to love God with all of your heart and with all your soul. And that's first. That's the main thing. That's what it is. To achieve this, parents begin with us, ourselves first. If we can't put this thing together, there ain't no way we can pass it on to our kids, right? So where are you getting this to pass on to your kids? You're reading it out of some book from somebody who's a feminist or a God hater or somebody who doesn't believe in God. Where are you getting it from? You're going to get it from somewhere. Everybody and brother's got an idea, right? Where are you getting yours from? You know, who's influencing you? So you don't have a mom? There is a mom out there that knows what's going on. You know, and they'd be glad to help you. Somebody to try to help you on the right path. What is the pattern? What are you following? What's going on? Where are you getting it from? Who's leading you? Somebody is. You say, well, my mom was not a good role model. It doesn't matter. You can't say you're responsible. That's exactly what the deal is in this situation with these two ladies in 1 Kings chapter 3. Oh, no, no. There is no sin that covers irresponsibility. Okay? Well, you just don't, it doesn't matter. It's not qualified. And we need to hurry on. We ain't even going to get to the first verse. Look at this one. Here it is. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. This thing is so misunderstood so many times. Oh, well, I'm going to teach him, and then it doesn't really matter because as long as I do that, he'll always come back. That's not what it says. It is not a promise. You know, that's one thing about this. You understand, what is this? It's a literary form, wisdom literature. You look at the Bible and say, okay, what is this? This is a command. This is history. This is literature, wisdom literature. It gives you a guideline on how things are laid together, but it's not a command. It never says, just because you teach him that a wheel's not going to run off and he becomes a satanic worshiper. No, it doesn't say that. It's not a promise. How many times? And here's what follows, the bad side of that is. People say, well, you know, if you just raise them right, that has to happen. And if they don't do that, that means you failed as a parent. No. You know, our great psychologists today, and in the secular world especially, they say, oh, well, it's not your fault. It's your mom and dad's fault. Mm-mm. They may have been bums. You still have responsibility. They may have not been there. You're still held responsible. Don't come off and say, well, God understands I can live irresponsible now because of that. No, you cannot. He's going to hold you accountable. And that's exactly what happens in this case when you, well, we're not going to get to the end of it. And that's exactly what you hear. People get down on people and say, well, if you'd have just done right. Now, here's the miraculous thing. And we know firsthand some of these cases. They have 3 or 4 kids. The mom and dad raise them godly all of their life. 2 or 3 of them turn out to be godly people, even in the ministry and serve the Lord. And one of them worships the devil. So how do you explain that? Or what if you take one who's never been in a church in their life and had such an ungodly influence all their life, and they turn out to be a preacher? See, it doesn't give any footnotes. Well, this is exactly how it's going to work. It doesn't say that. We don't know that. It just says, you better train them up. I remember reading a story where a pastor was counseling with a family, and they had 3 sons and raised them to fear the Lord Jesus, and they were raised in that situation. And 2 of them turned out to be ministers, and one of them died at 41 from AIDS involved in a homosexual lifestyle. And, you know, they're dealing with that issue. What happened? Well, right before the 41-year-old died, he made a video that his mom and dad played after he had died. And because he made a commitment to Jesus before he died, okay, not long before he died, but he made a video, and this is what it said in the video. It's not your fault. You taught me everything that my other brothers heard, and look what happened to them. I made a choice. It's not your fault. You can't blame somebody else. I don't care how bad you had it. These two ladies in this situation, you can't get any worse in that situation. They both made bad choices, and one of them finally said, enough of this. I need some help. So she goes to the king, and you remember what the deal is, right? They're both in the house, two pregnant women, prostitutes. They have children. One of them dies in the night. And the other one, that's the one whose kid dies, tries to steal the other one. And so they go before Solomon the king and try to say, okay, one of them saying, this is my child. Another one saying, no, this is my child. And, you know, in his wisdom, when he says, just take a knife and cut the baby in half and give each one of them half. That's what it says. And, you know, the mother whose child, whose mother, who was not the mother of that child, said, yeah, just cut it in half and we'll both get half. And the real mother said, no, just give the hurt a child. And he knows, okay, that's the one who loves it. That's the real mother giving in. She finally said, all the nonsense I've been living in, there's finally a time we got to stop this nonsense. I need some help. So I'm going to the king. You can still go to the king, and that's Jesus. He's got a guideline in the scripture to tell you exactly how to raise your kids, how as a mother to train your kids. It's there. And I guarantee you say, well, I don't even believe in Jesus. It will still work. You don't even have to believe in Jesus. If you follow the guidelines that God laid out for us, it'll work. He said, this is the only way it's going to work. And that's what's going on. So don't get caught up in this and try to blame somebody. Well, they must have been bad parents. No, 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 no. They could have. Don't get me wrong now. There's a lot of influence that goes on in our lives at a young age from bad parents that cause us to make bad decisions. But in the end, we make decisions. Okay? When you stand before Jesus, your mom and dad ain't going to be there. Your spouse ain't going to be there. You're going to be there. And Jesus is going to ask you why you did this and you did that. And nobody else is going to answer for you. You are. And he's going to say, oh, no, you made that choice. Now, here are the consequences, whatever they are. That's the way it works. Moms, ooh, you have a tough job for irresponsible, ungrateful kids. That's right. How much did they take for granted? How often did they thank you? We were talking about it this morning. Somebody, we were back there, some of us eat breakfast back there. Some of y'all eat breakfast three times a day back there. Anyway, we were talking about it because there's a couple people that thank those ladies for cooking those eggs every morning. So we asked, how many people thank you for that? And they said, two. How many people eat those eggs back there? How many of you ever thank anybody for doing it? Those ladies in the kitchen cook them, you know. My chickens hatch them. I mean, my kitchen, mine and a couple other people that bring eggs, our chickens make the eggs, but they cook them. When's the last time you thanked anybody for that? See what I'm talking about? And you think your children are ungrateful? They're a little ungrateful ingrates. They just think they deserve it, right? They're entitled. Mom, I'm sorry. You still love us in spite of that nonsense, you know? And every now and then they'll wake up and say, Mom, thanks. You know, thanks. When's the last time you thanked somebody? Somebody in your family. Maybe your mom's not here anymore. Maybe it's another lady that's not even your family who's done so much for her. When's the last time you thanked them? You just take that for granted. And they tolerate your nonsense. Boy, that's what I don't understand. Why in the world does God tolerate us? You know? We're not anywhere in where we're supposed to be in our study. Moms, you're trying to be hard on us. No, I'm just telling you, you got the most important job in the world. That's what I'm telling you. That's how important you are. Don't shun it. If you've been shunning it, go to your kids and say, man, I'm sorry. Or go to your grandkids or your kids that are already adults and say, how can I help you not make the same mistakes that I made? Because I want your kids to have a fighting chance. They're going to learn enough of the world stuff out there. You need to be teaching them some God stuff. And then by God's grace, he'll do what he can do, only what he can do. And we count on that. He's still in control. You know, he was in control of those ladies and what the situation was. When they couldn't do anything about it, God said, oh, I'm just. I'm going to do the right thing. You don't have to worry about me. Moms, you are special. Just want you to know that. As bad as we are, you're special. And you do whatever you can, and we still turn out to be crazy. Ain't that right? We are all crazy, aren't we? Most of us are certifiable. Oh, that's a bad word. You can't use that. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that you need to be in an asylum. I don't mean that. That's not the way we use the word. It just means you're not using good common sense. That's what that means for us. And most of us a lot of our life, we don't use good common sense, do we? Hello? Even though our moms have tried to teach us. Boy, you know better than that. I know it. And then we go do it. And cry because something bad happened. Hey? Who did that? I did. Who's to blame? I am. Well, why are you telling me? You're the one doing it. Oh, but I want you to feel sorry for me. I don't feel sorry for you. You know? You go to bed with a dog and get up with fleas. Isn't that right? That's what they used to say, Mom and Daddy. We never had dogs in the house, so they could say that. Anyway, God bless us anyway, right? Oh, my goodness. Mercy everlasting. Moms, have a good day. You sorry, man. You need to take them out today if you hadn't planned on it already. If you hadn't planned that already. All right? You're going to need to wait about 3 o'clock, though. Because everybody's going to be at the restaurant. Well, I don't know. We get out of here before 12, so we'll beat all those other church people who get out. So you have time. Go do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're so merciful. All of us have made so many mistakes in our life, horrible choices. Some of them have many consequences. You can help us get through the consequences. They may stay with us the rest of our life, but you can still help us amend some of them. Help us be honest. Help us all see our responsibility. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you have a plan for us if we'll follow it. Send your Holy Spirit to convict us that we will follow it, that we'll seek someone around us to help us so that we can follow through in following it, that you'll be glorified and our lives will bring a testimony for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great day.